are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last, just kicking down the cobblestones.
Hi, I'm Dr. Trudy Pratt. For 18 years, I've had a chiropractic and nutrition practice in Reading. I've learned that getting and staying healthy is easier than people think. It's about making a lot of little changes. To see what I mean, join me Saturdays at 10 a.m. on KCNR 1460. Sponsored by Lazy 69 Ranch, home of my favorite grass-fed beef and pastured eggs, and East Earth Tradewinds, the North State's number one source for medicinal herbs and acupuncture.
Look for a building contractor, experience and quality, and someone who's reliable. Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
Furniture for life, Kubler Furniture.
It's the biggest sale of the season. Name brand furniture at huge savings. Come celebrate spring at Kubler's Furniture. Freshen up your home with gorgeous new furniture from name brands like Broyhill. Put a bounce in your step with a good night's sleep on a new mattress as low as $399 for a plush Queen Simmons Beauty Rest set. Or spruce up your living room with a new sectional sofa with ottoman, just $699. Plus great financing for qualified buyers. 6 months interest free. Kubler's Furniture, the biggest sale of the season. Give your home a fresh new look for spring. The savings are in full bloom right now at Kubler's Furniture. It's the biggest sale of the season. Follow Kubler's on Facebook and get in on your chance to win the weekly Friday freebie giveaway.
Kubler's Furniture, furniture for life.
Kubler's Furniture, your Broyhill Showcase Gallery. 1894 Churn Creek in the Shasta Center. Some items exempt from sale. See store for details.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is William Wycrow of Sovereign Minds Radio.
Extraterrestrials and UFOs with Mark McCandlish, a former Defense Department employee. Do you believe in UFOs, extraterrestrials, alien abduction? If so, then you're going to want to listen to next week's show for sure. So tune in to Sovereign Minds Radio, 1460 AM, every Sunday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Good morning, Reading. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. Well, I don't know about anybody else, but I've had enough rain. Jim, what are you thinking about this?
I think we're about due for spring, and actually, good news. Looks like this next week is going to clear up. The sun, you remember the sun? That big bright
vaguely,
thing in the sky?
Vaguely.
It's
yeah.
Actually going to be visible here in parts of Northern California.
I don't believe it.
We'll believe it when we see it.
You can try to sell me on that,
yeah,
but I don't believe it.
The Weather Service says like 75 by Wednesday. I mean, is that going to be a nice change or not?
I'm not even going to. I can't even put it in my mind right now. I'm just so damp. I'm just so moldy.
Yes.
So this poor state, you know, we Californians, we're just not made for this. We're a fragile type.
We rust.
We rust.
We don't tan in this kind of weather. We rust.
And our minds, something just happens. So who knows? Well, gosh, I want to start by introducing our co-host. We have Carrie Ann Gein here. Good morning, Carrie Ann.
Good morning.
Good morning. And, you know, on the line, we have Ronnie Cummins of Finland, New Mexico. He is the founder and director of the Organic Consumers Association. He blogs for the Huffington Post. He's the co-author of Genetically Engineered Food, A Self-Defense Guide for Consumers. His website is organicconsumers.org. And that's a website that gets about 30,000 visitors a day. So there is an interest in this topic, my people. And today we're going to talk about genetically engineered food. So I'd like to welcome Ronnie Cummins. Ronnie, are you with us?
Yes, good to be with you today.
Oh, good. There you are. Now, what kind of weather are you having? Should we be jealous?
Well, it's hard to complain about the weather down here in north central Mexico. It's sunny and 75 degrees.
Okay, we love that. We want to be you. And so I want to start with something really basic for our listeners. I want to start with this idea of what are genetically modified organisms, genetically engineered food, and also how did you get into it? How did it touch that spot in you that makes you work so hard every day?
Well, genetically engineered food is a new technology that has been pushed by Monsanto and some large chemical companies, where they can basically take genetic material from any living organism, whether it's a plant or an animal or a human, a bacteria, a virus, and they can unnaturally mix it together, forcefully force it together and produce a new organism, which is an organism that never would have existed previously. And unfortunately, it's an organism that once it's created with this mutant gene structure, it can reproduce out in the world. So the reason why this technology developed had nothing to do with making healthier food or making a healthier environment. The reason why companies like Monsanto developed this technology was so that they could get monopoly control or patent control over seeds, which they didn't previously have. So it basically came online. The first genetically engineered food product, bovine growth hormone, came online in early 1994. And since then, this technology has been able to spread across the United States and many other nations, because basically the government has refused to label food products that are derived from genetic engineering. In places where labeling was demanded by the citizens and where they were able to get it, like the European Union, there are no, for all practical purposes, there are no genetically engineered foods or crops out there.
Ronnie, now how is this? How is this different from, say, something like grafting of plants? How is that different?
Yeah, well, you can only graft plants together if they're related species. You could never graft genetic material from a fish into a tomato, you know, through natural means. And yet genetic engineers have done this and have actually tried to commercialize that particular product. There was such a rejection on the part of the public. They weren't able to get that one out there. So it means that you can cross in an unnatural manner any living organism, whether it's related or not.
Okay, that's a great, absolutely great description. We're going to take a radio break, and I will be right back after this. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. We've been talking to Ronnie Cummins, and we'll be taking a short break, and we'll be back.
What do you look for in?
Do you have neck, shoulder, or back pain? Did you know that acupuncture can help? The experts at Reading Acupuncture Healthcare can treat all these problems and so much more. Acupuncture is a virtually painless therapy that's been used in China for over 1,000 years. It stops pain by stimulating the production of pain-killing endorphins while improving blood flow to the area of pain. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare has 2 experienced acupuncturists with over 25 years of combined experience. Reading Acupuncture is the largest acupuncture clinic in Shasta County and offers the most extensive selection of Chinese herbs, teas, books, and aromatherapy products in their herbal pharmacy. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare is conveniently open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Tuesdays and Thursdays until 7 p.m. We also have Saturday appointments available for your convenience. If you or a loved one have pain that prevents you from enjoying life to the fullest, then call today for a free consultation at 223-2346. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare is in the Raley's Cobblestone Shopping Center on Hartnell. Call today, 223-2346.
What do you look for in a building contractor? Experience and quality, and someone who's reliable? Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years' experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction, or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
Soldiers returning with traumatic brain injuries or other serious battle wounds often spend weeks or months in a VA hospital or other rehab facility. DVDs for Vets is collecting DVDs and portable players for distribution in our community and nationwide. Many of us take for granted our access to everyday enjoyments, and DVDs for Vets needs your help in giving these injured soldiers some diversions from the monotony of a hospital stay during recovery. To donate new or used DVDs or to learn more about this worthy cause, please go to www.dvdsforvets.org.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome back. Hey, you've caught KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. This is Trudy Pratt, and we're talking to Ronnie Cummins of the Organic Consumers Association. And welcome back, Ronnie.
Well, good to be with you.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. Hey, you know, during the break, Carrie Ann had a question for you, and kind of a go ahead, Carrie Ann, with your observation.
I was just observing that another way to explain it too is that animals that seem similar, even when you take like a donkey and a horse, and you try to you mate them, and they do produce an offspring, which is a mule, but because the genes are so different between them, that mule is not able to produce itself, you know, just continue to produce. So right there is a natural way that the genes are shutting off production.
So what, nature curbed the problem, you're
right.
saying? Okay. Is that an effective example?
Yes, unfortunately, with genetic engineering, when you forcefully gene splice foreign DNA together, in the case of plants, for example, these do reproduce in the environment. And this is one of the reasons why there's been opposition to this technology from the beginning. Not only is it unnatural, but it is destructive of the gene pool, because once you produce these mutant organisms, they reproduce.
Now, are they that much stronger than non-GMO seeds?
Well, sometimes they're not stronger because they've been genetically engineered to achieve certain characteristics. Like most of them, it just sounds so stupid, but it's actually true. Most of the genetically engineered plants out there have been engineered to where they can be sprayed repeatedly with a toxic herbicide or pesticide. And so what happens is that these plants spread to plant relatives. Their pollen spreads through the air, through pollinators, and so on. So you're starting to have weeds develop that have this same characteristic, and it just intensifies this chemical war on weeds, which is accelerated to the point now where it's a very serious human health threat.
And what is that human health threat?
Well, right now, for example, you can see it very clearly in the human population in the United States. That about 10% of young people today growing up have been damaged by these organophosphate pesticide nerve toxins. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is skyrocketing. Autism is rocketing. We've got a epidemic of cancers among young people. Of course, this is not just the toxins in foods. It's the air pollution. It's the mercury coming out of the coal plants and so on and so forth. But we've created an environment today where young people growing up don't have the kind of chance that some of us in the older generation had to grow up in a healthy manner or a natural manner. And if we look at the increase in things like food allergies, childhood cancer, autism, attention deficit hyperactivity disorders, soon it's going to be everyone if we don't clean up the environment. And this includes stopping the use of these toxic chemicals in agriculture that have been accelerated through this technology of genetic engineering.
And how is it that you got into this? Were you touched personally through your health, or did you have someone near you know, a loved one have an experience? Or?
Well, I grew up in the 1960s, and like millions of other young people, I got involved in the social change movement, in the anti-war movement, in the anti-racism civil rights movement. And one of the things we realized right at the end of the 1960s was that it wasn't enough to just complain about what was wrong, that we had to actually create the alternative infrastructure of the new society. And so a lot of us started, reading about food, reflecting on, my grandparents had been organic farmers in Texas, so I knew about farming. But we started building these food cooperatives and these food buying clubs, and a lot of us started moving back to the land and starting communes. And, that was over 40 years ago now, and this alternative food economy, food and farming economy that we started to build up has now become a, $30 billion industry. We're still just 4% of all grocery store sales, but we're, the organic alternative is growing and will someday be the norm. And then along the way, we discovered all these obstacles to healthy, safe food and healthy, safe environment. One of them was genetic engineering. So I was one of the first activists to organize against genetically engineered foods starting in 1993. And I soon realized that there were only a handful of companies like Monsanto really pushing this technology. But unfortunately, these corporations have tremendous influence in the federal government, in the regulatory agencies, and so on, to where today, for example, every poll taken shows that, 90% or more of Americans want labels on genetically engineered food, but our federal government refuses to pass a law, even though 90% of us want it. Why is that? Because they're listening more closely to Monsanto and big agribusiness interests than they are to their own constituents.
Why is it that Europe just sort of, they reacted so swiftly in the 90s to the whole genetically engineered concept and just said, I don't think so? Is it just because Monsanto is from our country and their influence is stronger, or is it their consumers are...
Well, there were very similar protests against genetically engineered fruit and crops in the U.S. and Canada as there were in Europe. The difference in Europe is that you have a more democratic system. One thing in Europe is you have a system of proportional representation. And this means that, for example, in Europe in the early 90s and since then, the Green Party of Europe has been very strongly against genetically engineered foods and crops, and very strongly in favor of organic production. And so, they always get 10 or 15% of the vote or something around there. Well, in the United States, if you get 10 or 15% of the vote, you still get no representation in Congress. In the European Union, you get the 10 or 15% of the seats.
Wow.
So this made the Green Party a power broker. If the liberals or the conservatives wanted to form a government in Germany or Italy or wherever, they had to take into account this proportion of the public. Now, the same proportion of the public in Europe were opposed to GMOs and wanted labeling as in the States. The difference is that they were able to get some representation in the government. The other thing is that the media in the United States and Canada is far more monopolized and controlled by just a handful of companies. In the European Union, you still have the vestiges of independent news organizations who are not afraid to, cover the controversial issues. So over time, what happened in the European Union, which is the largest agricultural market, by the way, in the world, over time in the European Union, the population became more educated about the hazards of genetically engineered foods and crops than they are in the United States. In the U.S., you still have two-thirds of the public are scared of this technology and have misgivings. But when you ask them, have you ever eaten a genetically engineered food or a food that has a genetically engineered ingredient in them, well, of course, everyone has, because unless you eat entirely organic food, but only 26% of the public in a recent poll in the United States thought they had ever eaten one of these, a food with these GMOs in it. So obviously we've got a lot of, misinformation in the United States, a lot of ignorance about these issues, and it's not quite like that in the European Union.
What percentage would you...
But it really comes down to the fact that if citizens of a country are going to be in control of technology as opposed to corporations cramming technology down our throat, you have to have democracy. You know, you have to have a democratic media. We do have a thriving alternative radio network and media network, but nonetheless, most Americans are not exposed to alternative ideas on a regular basis. And this is one of the major problems in our society.
Ronnie.
And the other thing you have to have is a democratic political process, because what good does it do if the public want to do the right thing, whether it means, you know, stopping the war in Iraq or Afghanistan or having healthy food? What does it matter what we think if we can't get the politicians to, you know, enforce the people's will?
Oh, no doubt.
So
yeah,
it's we all understand that we vote with our pocketbooks every day, but we also, you know, have to keep in mind that we better get back control over our government, or we're just going to continue to see corporations set our agenda instead of what the people want.
No kidding. Hey, Carrie Ann has a question for you.
Yeah, what percentage of our food in our markets would you say is genetically modified or has genetically modified ingredients in it?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear the question.
Oh.
You said...
The question is, what percentage of the foods in our supermarkets would you say has genetically engineered ingredients in it?
Okay. Well, if you're shopping in a food cooperative, typically about 50% of the food is certified organic. So that doesn't have GMOs in it, that 50% of the food. The other 50% of the food in a food co-op, if it's a processed food and it has non-organic soy or cotton seed oil or corn, sugar beets or canola, chances are it does have GMOs. Okay, so then you look at like a Whole Foods typically, or a Trader Joe's, about a third of their food is certified organic. So that's going to be clean of GMOs. But again, the processed food, if it's not organic, is going to be contaminated. A conventional supermarket, a Safeway, a Kroger, typically only about 4% of the food is certified organic. So most of that, especially the processed food, is going to have GMOs in it. If you want to know whether a food product in a grocery store has GMOs in it, we're looking at processed foods here right now, just flip over the label. Where it has the list of ingredients. If you see soy, soy lecithin, corn sweetener, you know, canola oil, if it says vegetable oil, that usually contains cottonseed oil. Or if it has a sweetener other than sugarcane, it's gonna be GMO. It would test positive. Now, if you go to the meat department, meat, dairy, or eggs, again, if it's, certified organic, those animals were not fed genetically engineered grains. They were not given animal drugs, including genetically engineered drugs or hormones. And, you know, so basically in our country, unlike the European Union and many other countries like Japan, the only way you can be sure something is not genetically engineered is if it's certified organic. Or
excellent.
In the case of, so far we've been able to keep out genetically engineered vegetables and fruits off the market, except for a small amount of genetically engineered papaya coming from Hawaii.
Okay.
So
Ronnie, we're going to take a quick break here. Yeah, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. And so we'll be back with Ronnie Cummins of the Organic Consumers Association right after this. You're listening to KCNR 1460.
Too tired or busy to cook at home or go out to eat? We can bring the restaurant to you. Hi, I'm Jeff from Entree Express. We've been delivering lunch and dinner from your favorite Reading restaurants for 17 years. We can deliver to your home, office, or hotel room. Enjoy your favorites from 25 restaurants by calling Entree Express at 224-9791. That's 224-9791. Or you can Google Entree Express of Reading to find our website.
Do you have neck, shoulder, or back pain? Did you know that acupuncture can help? The experts at Reading Acupuncture Healthcare can treat all these problems and so much more. Acupuncture is a virtually painless therapy that's been used in China for over 1,000 years. It stops pain by stimulating the production of pain-killing endorphins while improving blood flow to the area of pain. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare has 2 experienced acupuncturists with over 25 years of combined experience. Reading Acupuncture is the largest acupuncture clinic in Shasta County and offers the most extensive selection of Chinese herbs, teas, books, and aromatherapy products in their herbal pharmacy. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare is conveniently open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Tuesdays and Thursdays until 7 p.m. We also have Saturday appointments available for your convenience. If you or a loved one have pain that prevents you from enjoying life to the fullest, then call today for a free consultation at 223-2346. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare is in the Raley's Cobblestone Shopping Center on Hartnell. Call today, 223-2346.
Hi, I'm Vicki Leda from Orchard Nutrition Center. For 30 years, our family-owned business has been Reading's premier choice for health foods, produce, bulk foods, and the best nutritional supplements. We pride ourselves on offering many locally produced foods. Our products are good for you and easy on your pocketbook. Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust in the Cypress Shopping Center, open every day, 8 to 9.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Okay. Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. On the line, we have Ronnie Cummins. He's in New Mexico, and he is the founder and director of the Organic Consumers Association. He has a blog on the Huffington Post, and he's the co-author of Genetically Engineered Food, A Self-Defense Guide for Consumers. His website is organicconsumers.org, and his website gets about 30,000 visitors a day, which is a lot. So people are interested in this topic. So welcome back, Ronnie.
Well, good to be with you today.
I'm so glad. Hey, you know, during the break, we were talking a little bit. We wanted to kind of reiterate, go back over for the listening audience. You know, we've got basically 5 crops, it sounds like: soy, corn, canola, sugar beets, and cottonseed. Those are our big 5 right now that are genetically engineered, and then kind of derivatives of that. Is that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and the thing about processed foods is about 75% of processed, non-organic processed foods in the United States contain substances like soy lecithin or corn sweetener. And so that's why you end up with such a high proportion of non-organic processed foods that are have genetically engineered ingredients. And then the industry likes to brag that 75% of all supermarket foods already contain GMOs. And then, of course, most of these crops are not the corn and the soybeans and the cottonseed oil, or the cottonseed. These aren't fed to humans or put in human foods primarily anyway. They're fed to animals. So most animal products in the United States today, unless they're organic, these animals were raised on genetically engineered foods, so they were force-fed them, more or less. So it's very hard to escape GMOs unless you can buy organic food, unless you eat mainly, whole foods, fruits and vegetables and so on, and organics. And that's the reason why we've launched this campaign. We're having protests actually in 33 cities today across the U.S.
That's right.
Just saying that we want consumers to have the right to know whether their food has been genetically engineered or not. And we have a lot of faith in consumers that if they have truthful labels on the products, they will often try to do the right thing. And that's the reason why industry is scared to death of truth in labeling, whether we're talking food irradiation or pesticides or genetically modified organisms or whether or not the products came out of these factory farms. Industry does not want truthful labels because they know that people are trying to do the right thing for their health and the animals and the health of the planet. So the only way they can get us to buy their unhealthy food products is by greenwashing them or concealing from us or from many people how they were produced.
Now, when it comes to labeling, I mean, where are we with getting these products labeled? Are we absolutely nowhere? Is it going to have to happen little grocery store by little grocery store? Where are we with that?
Well, we've been trying to get labeling since 1994 through the U.S. Congress, and we've gotten nowhere, basically. The most people we've ever had in the House of Representatives supporting a mandatory labeling bill were 51, and, of course, there's 435 members of the House of Representatives. So we've never gotten, more than a little over 10%. In the Senate, where there's 100 U.S. senators, we've never gotten more than 2. So during the presidential campaign back in 2008, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, they claimed that they would support mandatory labeling of genetically engineered foods once they got in office. But, of course, once they got in office, they haven't said a word about this. So our perspective, Organic Consumers Association, is that we, as far as legislation, we have a lot more leverage at the city council level, at the county board level, and even at the state legislative level. So that's where we're putting our emphasis. But way beyond our leverage there is the leverage we have in our local communities in grocery stores. The place where you buy your organic food and where your friends buy their organic food is going to really listen to you. A group of 6 people who go in and talk to a store manager at a food co-op or at a Whole Foods or Trader Joe's or, you know, even a store like a Safeway that has a considerable amount of organic food these days, they're going to pay attention to you. And if thousands of people in your local community sign a petition or, you know, involve themselves in protests like the ones taking place across the country today, stores eventually will do the right thing if they're scared enough about, the reaction from their customers.
Right.
So we've got to start from the grassroots up and the marketplace and our local city governments are where we're the strongest.
Right now in one of our local health food stores, Orchard Nutrition Center, they have a labeling system where they've identified gluten-free, they've identified organic, they've identified all sorts of special needs, and then right at the bottom, they're getting ready to identify genetically modified organisms, but they just sort of needed a little push from the rest of us to let them know that all the work they were going to do that was actually valued. And so you're inspiring us to take that next step and get ourselves, you know, that last little, I think it's a green dot or something, just sitting there on their labeling waiting for us to identify what is genetically modified. I think you're kind of lighting a little fire underneath us right now. So
yeah, well, the thing is, we need to tell stores is, look, you don't have to wait for the manufacturer of a so-called natural food or a so-called conventional food to admit to you that they have genetically engineered ingredients in that. If it's a processed food, that is a food that has more than one ingredient, by law, they have to list the ingredients on the back of the package or the can or the box. All you have to do is look at the ingredients. If you see soy or soy lecithin or corn or corn sweetener or canola or vegetable oil or any kind of sweetener except for sugar cane and it's not organic, then that product will test positive 99% of the times for GMOs. And if you go to the meat department, meat, dairy, or eggs, if that product is not organic, that animal was fed GMOs throughout its life, you know, and typically was in a confined animal, intensive confinement situation as well. So stores often are going to try to drag their heels and say, well, we're asking our suppliers whether they have, no. The suppliers know full well the reason why they're not organic is because organic ingredients cost more than non-organic ingredients.
By how much would you say? By how much would you say those organic ingredients? How much more do they cost? What percentage would you hunt?
At the checkout counter, you know, it's anywhere from 25% more to 50% more.
Okay.
But the what consumers, you know, need to realize is that when you buy an organic food, the price you pay at the checkout counter, well, that's it. You've paid for it. When you buy a non-organic food, you've just begun to pay at the checkout counter. You're going to pay for it with your taxes, which subsidize chemical food in the United States and GMOs. You're going to pay for it with your health care bill because of the damage that non-organic food causes. You're going to pay for it in your taxes for environmental cleanup, you know, and you're going to pay for it in the most, you know, extraordinary sense as our climate continues to deteriorate and climate change turns into climate chaos. The biggest contributor to climate change in the United States is our chemical-intensive, energy-intensive system of food and farming. It's right up there with our personal transportation, with the cooling and heating our houses and so on and so forth. So the reason to vote for organic is not because it's cheaper right now at the checkout counter. The reason is if you look at the true cost, organic food is the cheapest food out there right now because it doesn't have all these other destructive collateral damage aspects to it.
Thank you for tying that together for us. I just love it. Hey, when we come back from this break, Doug in the chat room here would like information about GE alfalfa. You know, that's one of the big industries, or I should say crops up here. So you're listening to Positively Healthy, and we've been talking with Ronnie Cummins. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Amy Rogers. I'm a certified massage therapist with a bachelor's degree in kinesiology. I've worked with a broad spectrum of clients that have a variety of needs. I like to help people get rid of their physical pain so they can enjoy their lives. You can find me at Dr. Trudy Pratt's office at 244-7873. Most insurance is accepted. Number again is 244-7873. Let this be the year that you care for yourself.
Do you have neck, shoulder, or back pain? Did you know that acupuncture can help? The experts at Reading Acupuncture Healthcare can treat all these problems and so much more. Acupuncture is a virtually painless therapy that's been used in China for over 1,000 years. It stops pain by stimulating the production of pain-killing endorphins while improving blood flow to the area of pain. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare has 2 experienced acupuncturists with over 25 years of combined experience. Reading Acupuncture is the largest acupuncture clinic in Shasta County and offers the most extensive selection of Chinese herbs, teas, books, and aromatherapy products in their herbal pharmacy. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare is conveniently open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Tuesdays and Thursdays until 7 p.m. We also have Saturday appointments available for your convenience. If you or a loved one have pain that prevents you from enjoying life to the fullest, then call today for a free consultation at 223-2346. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare is in the Raley's Cobblestone Shopping Center on Hartnell. Call today, 223-2346.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and, you know, next week we have, I won't be here, and we have Henry Cuenca will be substituting for me, and he'll be talking to his guest Catherine King about the principles of prosperity, and he'll be getting a little bit of history from Frank Tona over at Crown Camera, who has very fascinating personal stories to share. So don't miss Henry next week. And also, this part of the show is brought to you by East Earth Tradewinds, and that's Michael Chatowski. He is a Reading acupuncturist, and he has eastearthtrade.com and also Reading Acupuncture. He's been a friend of mine for 20 years, and this show would not be possible without his support. And so I want to get back to our guest. We have Ronnie Cummins still here, thank goodness, from Finland, New Mexico. And like I said earlier, he is the founder and director of the Organic Consumer Association. And boy, oh boy, do they do a lot. And if you want to learn a lot of controversial, fascinating, and helpful information, check out their website at organicconsumers.org. And welcome back, Ronnie.
All right, good to be with you.
I'm so glad you're here. Okay, well, let's talk about this genetic alfalfa, this GMO alfalfa. You know, that's pretty disturbing to me.
Yes, well, alfalfa in the United States is the fourth largest cultivated crop. It's over 20 million acres, 23 million acres out of the 435 million cultivated acres of all crops in the U.S., so it's about 15% of everything that's planted out there. It's a very important food for dairy cows, especially. And it's of the crops out there, even if the alfalfa is not grown organically up until now, it's a fairly sustainable crop in the sense that I believe 93% of the nation's 23 million acres of alfalfa are not sprayed with an herbicide at this point. So it's low chemical. And the other thing is that it doesn't require a whole lot of chemical fertilizer, which is very damaging to groundwater and to, the soil food web, the important living organisms in the soil that actually sequester a lot of the greenhouse gases that we now have in excess in the atmosphere. So in other words, alfalfa, of all the industrial crops in the United States today, is one of the most benign, even if it's not grown organically. However, what has happened is that Monsanto, with their tremendous influence in Washington, D.C., and in the media, have managed to convince the Obama administration and the USDA to override a federal court decision and to override, of course, the concerns of consumers across the United States, and in fact, most alfalfa growers across the United States, whether they're organic or not. And they basically approved this crop about a month ago, and they've set off a firestorm of protest.
Good.
So now we have no recourse other than to keep fighting them in court. I mean, another lawsuit has been filed to stop the planting of this genetically engineered alfalfa. But unfortunately, the last time a case went to the Supreme Court, you got people on the Supreme Court like Clarence Thomas, who used to be the general counsel for Monsanto. And so if this federal court case on GE alfalfa goes to the Supreme Court, we'll probably lose. And so whether we like it or not, whether the farmers of America like it or not, this product appears like they're going to try to force it on us. And so this is a reason why Organic Consumers Association and other activists across the country have said, okay, this is it. This is the final straw. If the government will allow a crazed product like genetically engineered alfalfa to go on the market, and the characteristics, by the way, of this Monsanto genetically engineered alfalfa that they're going to force on the market is basically it's herbicide resistant. I mean, what does that mean? It means you can spray Monsanto's Roundup as many times as you want on a field of alfalfa, and it won't kill the alfalfa. It'll kill any other weeds or living plants. So this is crazy. This is a product that has no benefit other than it's going to sell more of Monsanto's herbicides, and yet they're going to put it out there. And once it's out there, there's no way to contain this contamination because bees, the pollinators, they'll feed on the genetically engineered alfalfa, and then they'll transfer that those mutant genes to the organic or the non-GMO alfalfa. So gradually, the whole country will be contaminated unless we stop them right now. Obviously, they would not be doing this if you had to indicate in a dairy product or a meat product or an egg product. If you had to indicate whether those animals have been fed genetically engineered grain, you know, there's no way this product or any other GE crops would be approved. But since we don't have that, they're going to try to slip it in the back door. And even more ominously, Monsanto and the biotech industry, they understand that most organic dairy operations are heavily dependent on organic alfalfa as a feed for their cows.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
If they can contaminate the alfalfa gene pool across the country, including the organic, what they think is that, well, then we'll have to just throw up our hands and say, well, there's so much GMO contamination, I guess we better allow a certain amount in organic food and still be able to call it organic. This is their hidden agenda in this, and it's pretty diabolical, and so we got to stop them.
Definitely. Carrie Ann, you have a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify, usually alfalfa does not need to be to have herbicides used on it anyways, right? They usually just grow it without too much problem.
Only 7% of non-organic alfalfa nowadays is sprayed with an herbicide.
Okay, so it sounds like it's really pointing towards just making the money on having to use the Roundup then on the crops.
That's it.
Hey, what do you think?
It's a tactic to sell more Roundup and to destroy organic standards is what this comes down to.
Okay. You know what? I want to move to the little problem or the little glitch going on with Whole Foods. Kind of what's happened here in the last month with our organic standards that you've been involved with?
Well, what happened late last year is that the U.S. Department of Agriculture sat down with the CEOs of some of the biggest organic companies in the country, like Whole Foods and Stonyfield and Organic Valley and the Organic Trade Association, and they said, look, this genetically engineered alfalfa is going to be approved whether you like it or not. You got two choices. You can either... we can either approve it with no restrictions on it, or we can approve it to where we have some restrictions on it, and if it pollutes a organic alfalfa grower's product, we'll pay them a little compensation for that.
Oh, brother.
And these were closed-door meetings in Washington, D.C. They would not let the Organic Consumers Association into these meetings, even though we've got almost a million members across the U.S. Everyone knows that OCA is the biggest organization of organic consumers. They had the nerve to tell us in Washington, D.C., you guys aren't stakeholders, so you can't come into the meeting. So, you know, the bottom line is, why didn't Whole Foods and Organic Valley and Stonyfield at that point say, there aren't just two choices, you know, that we approve it with restrictions or with no restriction. The third choice is follow what the federal court said. Don't approve this thing. You know, if you approve this thing, we're going to raise holy hell across the country, and we're going to make the USDA and the Obama administration look bad. Well, they didn't do this. But then, ironically enough, in January, after the USDA had promised Whole Foods and Organic Valley and Stonyfield and the rest that they were going to have some restrictions on genetically engineered alfalfa, they put it out. They approved it with no restrictions. So they basically slapped them in the face after getting them to agree to compromise. So No one in the organic industry now is talking about this so-called peaceful coexistence between genetically engineered alfalfa and other crops and organic. Everyone is finally united to deliver the same message, which is the public doesn't want this stuff out there. We want labeling, and if you give us labeling, the public will drive these GMOs off the market.
I love
it. So we had to have some unpleasant conflict inside the organic community.
It happens sometimes. Yeah.
But the next stage we're telling people, like Whole Foods, is, okay, you people sell, you know, $10 billion a year worth of organic and natural food. You know, about $3 billion is organic, about $7 billion is so-called natural or conventional. How can you, Whole Foods, or how can you, Trader Joe's, or how can you, any store, claim that you support labeling of GMOs, and yet you're selling food in your store that's contaminated with GMOs, and you're not labeling it? So, I mean, let's get our own house in order first. Let's create a situation where if you walk into a natural food store, you know that stuff is either non-GMO, that is, it's organic, or a product that doesn't have a GMO ingredient, or it's got a label that says may contain GMOs. That's all we're asking.
That sounds rational to me.
If you're getting GMOs,
yeah,
don't sell it, you know, don't buy it, and don't grow it. You know, that's the only way we're going to stop this technology, because we can't hold our breath for the Obama administration or the USDA to do the right thing, because they're not listening to us. They're listening to the big guys in D.C. and the, you know, corporate agribusiness groups like the American Farm Bureau. They're not listening to us, and we got to get our own house in order and drive this stuff, start driving this stuff off the market. That's the only way we're going to get rid of it.
Well, you've inspired us at a local level, and, you know, to take the next step and really get our stores where we shop to truly label, and I don't think that sounds too difficult. Carrie Ann?
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And so now, when we look at just the rights of people, the responsibility, genetically modified organisms, genetically engineered food, what would you say when you're out talking to people? Is this a harder movement, or is this easier? Is this harder than, say, raw milk or pesticides, and I don't know, or like maybe in plastics, or what? Is this a more difficult issue, or is this pretty easy?
KZNR.
for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.